We read the Word of God tonight from Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. And consider as the verse tonight the first four verses of this prophecy. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. But art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art purer of eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Thus far we read the Word of God. Tonight I call your attention to the first four verses. I'll reread that a moment. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. The text we consider tonight, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, is introductory in character. It is an introduction to the prophecy of Habakkuk. And the sermon tonight is an introduction to a series of sermons, a brief series of sermons on this brief book of the Bible. I do not intend and do not think that it would be profitable to give a long explanation as to why a series of sermons on this book of the Bible. But for one thing, my thought has been that it would be best to begin as your pastor with a brief series rather than a lengthy series, and this series on Habakkuk will be brief. And for another thing, before God called me here to be your pastor, while I was yet the pastor at Peace, having finished a series of sermons on 1 Timothy, I had my eye then on this book of the Bible for the next series. Having considered other possibilities, I've determined to go forward with a series on this prophecy. And what we have here in the book of Habakkuk is the Word of God. We may refer and do refer to this book of the Bible as one of the minor prophets or one of the minor prophecies. But though it is true that this book of the Bible is briefer than Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, and in that sense this is a minor prophecy, Habakkuk, minor prophet that he may be, is for all of that a prophet of God. And verse 1 makes this very plain. He is Habakkuk, the prophet. He is the mouthpiece of Jehovah God, the Lord. He is God's spokesman, and therefore the word that he brings is not his own word filled with his own opinions, but this is the word of the Lord. And the burden that came upon Habakkuk was not his own burden. It was the burden of the word of the Lord, the burden that the Lord laid upon him. The Lord showed him his word, and that's the word that Habakkuk brought to the people in his day. It is true that in the text we read of the personal experience of the prophet, and we have in verses 2 through 4 the personal prayer of the prophet Habakkuk. And nevertheless, everything that he speaks of, he was shown by God. And God is the one who inspired him to write down the words of this prophecy, so that what we have here is not an explanation of the personal experiences of the prophet, but what we have here is the very Word of God. This is the word of the Lord through the prophet, the spokesman of God, Habakkuk. And this is then the word of God to you and me. We must understand that as we begin this series of sermons, we are going to hear the word of the Lord to us through this prophecy. It is true that this word was sent first of all to Judah. Habakkuk was a prophet in the days just before the Babylonian captivity of Judah. We have indication of that here in chapter 1 in verses 5 through 11, where we read of the Chaldeans and of their imminent captivity or destruction of Judah and Jerusalem and their victory over the Jews. It was probably shortly before the Babylonian captivity and probably during the reign of the third to last king of Judah, Jehoiakim. It was followed by Jehoiachin and by Zedekiah. It's probably during that reign of that wicked king of Judah that Habakkuk was called by God to be a prophet and to bring this word to the people of Judah. But this is the word of the Lord to us today too. And it's a word of peace to a struggling or a wrestling prophet. We're going to find as we go through this book that Habakkuk struggled spiritually. His name means embrace, and it indicates or refers to embracing one as an opponent to wrestle. And that's what Habakkuk faced. He faced a spiritual struggle. He wrestled with spiritual doubt, a spiritual opponent. And in the content of the book, we find him wrestling with doubts. Doubts about God. Doubts about his dealings in history with the wicked and with his people. Doubts about God's justice in his dealings with the wicked, and doubts about God's mercy in his dealings with Judah, his own people. With Habakkuk, we will wrestle. We will face the same questions that he faced. We do wonder sometimes about God's providential dealings with the world and with the church and with his people. And with Habakkuk, we will, as we go through this book of the Bible, come to peace. Not necessarily to complete understanding, but to peace as we look to God and put our faith in God. In chapter 2, verse 4, God declares, "The just shall live by faith." That's the word of the Lord in this prophecy. It's not that Habakkuk or the just people of God will come to understand completely the ways of God in history. It's not that God will justify himself to the prophet or to us and explain his dealings and explain the justice of his dealings. But rather, the just live by faith in the sense that they come to believe and to understand that God is God. God is just. God is good in his dealings with the wicked and his people. And so we consider tonight a timely word of God as we consider this text under the theme, "The Burden Habakkuk Saw." And we're going to notice in the first place that he saw Judah's sin. Secondly, that he saw the apparent indifference of God. And then thirdly, we're going to consider his response to what he saw. The prophet Habakkuk was a true prophet of God. He lived, as I said, in the days just before the Babylonian captivity of the Jews. And that means that he lived during the days of the prophet Jeremiah, from whose prophecy we learn that there were many false priests and false prophets at this time. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 8 verse 11, in those familiar words, that there were prophets who were saying, "Peace, peace," to the people when there was no peace. That is, these were prophets who weren't willing to boldly and forthrightly say to the people, "You're not right with God," and point out their sin, their idolatry, their immorality, and tell them that in the way of that sin, in the way of impenitence, there is no peace with God. But instead, those prophets would say to the people, healing their wounds slightly, "You're okay with God. You have peace with God just the way you are." Well, in this text, we see that though he lived at the time of those false prophets, Habakkuk is not identified by Jeremiah as one of those false prophets. Here is a true prophet of God who is shown by God the sin of the people of Judah. And this is a man who's not fearful of the people. He's not afraid to speak of their sin because he wants to please men. But he is a faithful prophet who receives the burden of the word of the Lord and brings that word and nothing more and nothing less than the word of God about the sin of Judah. His day, we learn from the text, was not a day in which in the nation of Judah, which was the nation of God's people, it was not a day in which righteousness abounded. Nor, when we read the text, do we see that this was a day when sin has gained a small and maybe almost unnoticeable foothold in the nation of Judah. Rather, what Habakkuk saw was that sin abounded in the nation of Judah. Sin dominated in the nation of Judah. The carnal element, those who had no faith towards God, those who were unbelieving and idolatrous and immoral, they were in the majority. They were in power in the land of Judah. When Josiah was king, just before Jehoiakim, it was different. Josiah was a godly king. That Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 22, verse 16, judge the cause of the poor and needy. And Jeremiah says, then all was well. But now it's clear from the text that under the reign of Jehoiakim, this spiritual weakness, this spiritual rot started from the top and went down. And we do learn from Jeremiah that Jehoiakim was an evil king. He says of Jehoiakim in Jeremiah 22, verse 17, but thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness and for to shed blood and for oppression and for violence to do it. So it started with the evil king. And then taking their cue from the king, the rest of the rulers and the princes in the land of Judah were unjust and violent, and oppression reigned in the land. This is what troubles Habakkuk. This is what causes him to cry out. This is what he sees in the land. Those who rule, those who have power, oppressing those who are weak. When he speaks in verse 2 of violence, and then in verse 3 of iniquity and grievance and spoiling and violence again, he is speaking about those who have power, who have the ability to oppress others, doing exactly that, using their position, using their power to oppress, to take from, to steal from those who are weak in the land. But we must not take this to mean that it was only the rulers who were violent and oppressing others, but that this came to characterize many of the people, the majority of the people in the land of Judah. This is what Habakkuk saw. He saw a land that was full of violence and oppression. The rulers may be, the king and the rulers may be guilty of setting the tone, but the people were guilty of following them into that sin. This is exactly the opposite of what we considered this morning when we considered the communion of the saints, where the people of God are called to love God and for the sake of God love the neighbor as themselves, and then seek to use their gifts, their talents, for the advantage of the neighbor. It's the opposite of that in Judah at this time. Now the people of Judah look on the neighbor and say, you exist for me, and I may take advantage of you. I may lie, I may cheat, I may steal, and even at the point of the sword with violence, take from you what belongs to you for myself. The land is full of stealing and strife and bitterness and maybe even murder. And it's clear that in this situation, Habakkuk sees the righteous suffering. Verse 4, he speaks of the fact that they are encompassed, they're surrounded by the wicked, and we can understand their suffering. They refuse to be a part of all of the lying and the stealing and the cheating and the violence. And therefore, they are at the mercy of these wicked men. And they are the ones who are cheated and oppressed. And then verse 4 adds, and they had no way to appeal to the rulers and judges for help. No, the law is slacked. This is what Habakkuk saw. The law has grown faint. And judgment doth never go forth. No, the wicked get their way. And he says, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Even though the law was on the side of those who loved God and the neighbor and who lived righteously, the judges ruled in favor of the wicked and against the righteous. And so, this was an evil day within the nation of Judah, where evil is approved and good is condemned. And those who did evil were undisciplined, unchecked. Now we have to ask ourselves, at the very beginning of this consideration of this book, how does all of this apply to us today? And it would be tempting, perhaps, to think of this evil world in which we live, and think of all of the violence and the injustice that we see even in the United States of America. Don't we see the oppression of the weak by the rich and powerful? And don't we see, too, that the justice system is corrupt? That there are many instances in which those who are guilty are let go? Many instances in which there is no right judgment, but the judgment is wrong? And isn't it the case that we see the violation of the second table of the law all around us in the land? Those who are cruel to the neighbor, those who act in hatred and even in violence against the neighbor in the world. But this does not apply to the world, these verses we consider tonight. Habakkuk is not speaking about the evil and the injustice he sees in an evil nation, for example, in the nation of Babylon, the Chaldeans. He's going to do that. God is going to speak, actually, first about the Chaldeans in verses 5 through 11. And then after that, in verses 12 to the end of the chapter, Habakkuk will speak about the evil of that nation of Babylon. But now his attention is focused squarely upon Judah, the people, the church of God. Do we see in the church such violence and sin and injustice? Do we see hatred for the neighbor? Well, perhaps when we look in the church, not our own church only, but in the church more broadly, we don't see violence where people by force are taking the possessions of the neighbor, as was going on in Judah. But nevertheless, we do see the breaking of the second table of the law in the church. And we do see that that is approved by the church. There's no justice in the church court system. Take, for example, the sin of homosexuality, which is sin against the second table of the law. Homosexuality is a sin of hatred for the neighbor. That is receiving the approval of the church. And those who are on the side of right, those who may pursue justice in the church, that that sin be condemned. They are outvoted in churches. And the church gives approval to that vile iniquity. And then look in the church at the great scandal of divorce in the church. There's hatred for the neighbor. There's violence. Husbands turning against wives. Wives turning against husbands. Suing each other for possessions. Bickering with each other. Receiving approval from the church for their actions. And if there is a righteous man or a righteous woman who goes to the church for justice, there are cases where the church won't lift a finger to discipline or to correct the unfaithful spouse. And think of the violence done to the children. And we can see and we can think about all of the evil that we see in the church today, all of the false doctrine, violent doctrine that does damage to the souls of people, and to the children in the church. And it's clear that our day is a day much like Habakkuk's day. But we must look and see what's going on in our own congregation too. This is a word that comes to our congregation. This is a word that comes to our office bearers, the rulers in the congregation. And if it isn't a word that condemns any injustice, any wrong judgment, it is a word that examines and asks the office bearers, how are you ruling? How are you judging in the congregation? Are you judging righteously? Are you judging according to the word of the Lord? Are you judging impartially? And how are you dealing with the meek and the lowly in the congregation? This is a word that comes to the members of the congregation too. Do you love? Are you seeking the advantage of the other members? Maybe you're not robbing and stealing and murdering. But what are you saying? And how are you behaving? Especially towards those meek members of the congregation who are easy to take advantage of. Do you seek to help them and promote their advantages? You want others to promote yours? Or do you hate them and abuse them? And here's the question that the text faces us with. As we look within the church and within our own congregation, are you sensitive to sin? To your sins? See, that's what happened in Judah. They weren't sensitive to their sin. Not when that sin was hardly noticeable and began making inroads. And then when that sin became great, they wouldn't see any sin. Well, Habakkuk teaches us that we may not have the attitude, of course, that we don't care. That we want sin to abound in the congregation. That's the way we would like to have it in the congregation, where we were free and all the members were free to do whatever we wanted. And we need to examine our hearts whether that is not sometimes our attitude. But then he's also teaching us that our attitude may not be indifferent. As we look at the church world and we see sin abounding in the church world, or as we look at ourselves and see the inroads of sin, our attitude may not be what happens to the church doesn't matter to us or to me. No, he loved the church. He loved the nation of Judah. cried out to God for judgment and salvation. But seeing that iniquity, bringing that iniquity before God, he sees something, the prophet does, that disturbs him. Let us notice that what disturbs him is not that sin and calling that sin, sin, and that he has to bring that message of sin to the people. There's no question about that for the prophet. Sin must be called sin and it must be addressed. But what disturbs him is the apparent, seems to him, indifference of God. This is what he expresses here in verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? How long? This is a man of God who has prayed. He's prayed for the church, for the people of God. He's done that on a daily basis. This is not a small matter to him. Every day as he sees violence, as he sees oppression, as he sees hatred amongst the people in the land of Judah, it stirs his soul. And he prayed. A very important prayer. More important than a prayer for his own health. More important than a prayer for his own needs, this was a prayer for the church. How long? And he's very direct. Notice that this isn't a question, and thou wilt not hear, but a statement. And it's even more direct and more bold than it is here in the King James. How long shall I cry? But thou wilt not hear. That's what he says to God. You're not hearing me. You're not listening to me. I'm pouring my heart out in prayer. And then he goes on, and even cry out unto thee of violence, but thou wilt not save. It appears to him that God isn't concerned about the state of his people in Judah. Habakkuk sees the wickedness. It bothers him. He sees the wicked not only walking in sin, but apparently suffering no consequence for that sin. God apparently doesn't see, doesn't hear. And Habakkuk sees the righteous suffering. The people of God, he sees their faithfulness. He sees them living in a time of great wickedness, but they haven't succumbed to the pressure. They haven't walked in the ways of wickedness like the others in the land. They're faithful to God. They continue to suffer. This troubles the prophet because he knows God and he knows God's word. God has revealed himself to be the king and the ruler of heaven and earth. God has revealed himself to be the judge of the wicked and the defender of the righteous. Genesis 18, verse 28, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Isn't that God, the judge of the earth, who always does what is right? In Psalm 10, verse 18, isn't God the judge of the fatherless and the oppressed? The prophet doesn't understand. How can this go on and continue to be this way? But the wicked have the upper hand in the nation of Judah, and the righteous are oppressed. He's questioning, the prophet is, the providential dealings of God. He doesn't understand God's providence, and he's questioning, what is God doing? The wicked and the righteous. And another thing he struggles with is prayer. I've cried. I've come to Thee, O God, on my knees in prayer. And Thou art the God who assures us that Thou dost hear Thy people when they cry out. Thou dost answer prayer. He's not an idle God. He's not dead. He's the living God who hears. But the Lord apparently isn't listening. He doesn't see. He doesn't respond. When you consider the state of the church, you consider in connection with that, the state of the world. You see all of the sin and all of the ungodliness. You see how God is hated, how His Word is rejected, how His standard of justice is overthrown. Evil is called good and good is called evil. And the people of God who don't go along with that iniquity are oppressed. Don't you sometimes feel the same as Habakkuk? We love the church. We're not interested only in ourselves, our own health, our own needs. We pray daily, don't we? For the church, that God's truth would be honored, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be maintained, and that the people of God will flourish in faith and in holiness. We pray, God, send judgment. Send salvation for Thy people. And doesn't it feel sometimes that God doesn't hear? How long? How long? Now we need to understand that this is only an apparent indifference on the part of God from the point of view of the prophet tonight. This is not actual indifference, actual inactivity on the part of God. It's not the case that God wasn't hearing or listening to the prayer of the prophet. Nor is it the case, it's not at all the case, that God wasn't looking upon or judging the wickedness in Judah, and that God was not looking upon and delivering the righteous who were oppressed in Judah. No, God sends an answer to Habakkuk that we will have to consider next time in the following verses. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work. I will work. I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. And then God goes on to speak of the chastisement that's going to happen at the hands, by the instrumentality of the Chaldeans upon the people of Judah. The problem is not with God. God makes it very clear in that following passage. He is the God. He is the judge of heaven and earth. He does rule not only over Judah, but also over the Babylonians and all of the nations of the earth. And He does have a plan, and He is executing that plan. He's bringing judgment to the wicked and salvation to His people. No, the problem's not with God, but with Habakkuk, and with us in those moments when we question God. We want God to answer us when we ought to be still in listening to God. This is what will come out in chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord, Jehovah, is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. We want God to explain Himself. We want God to tell us why, to tell us what His plan is, when instead we ought to be putting our faith in Him as God, as good and wise as our Savior through Jesus Christ. God's answer is not, although He does explain a little bit His plan in the following verses, His answer to us when we are struggling with what's going on in our lives and in the world around about us and in the church world, His answer is not, I'll come down to you and tell you all my thoughts. But His answer is, no, I am God. Believe in me. And that's what we see in the response of Habakkuk to what he saw. What he saw in the church disturbed him. What he saw was sin abounding. And what he saw was what he thought was no response from God. What did he do? He prayed. Oh, his faith was weak. He was confused. He had doubts. He didn't understand what God was doing. He didn't understand the plan of God. He didn't think that it was right. He wanted to tell God what to do and what time to do it. And nevertheless, looking upon the great wickedness in the land of Judah, he doesn't give in. He doesn't succumb to the pressure and say it's not worth battling against sin on behalf of the church, the pressure that we face too. Nor does he take it upon himself to say, I'm the hope of Judah. I'm the one who can bring reformation and salvation to the cause of God. No, his trust is in God. He's wrestling with God's providence, but he doesn't doubt God's providence. He doesn't wrestle with that. Is God in control? Is God ruling? He is. He is. And to Him I will turn. To Him I will pray. That's exactly what we need to do whenever we are troubled by what we see in our lives and in the church. There is a God in heaven. There is hope for His people always. He is ruling. Trust that He is good. Trust that He is wise. Trust His plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And turn to Him in prayer. Don't turn to your own solutions away from Him. The best thing and the only thing to do is to turn to God. And trust, even though you don't understand, and often you don't, He is God. He is judging. He is saving. That He does have a perfect plan in Jesus Christ. Amen.